It's September 15th.
Has children.
Has children.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, here's the second weekend in September already, and this month really flies. As I said at the last week, September is always a month of growth for me, and I hope for everybody else. The other reason that I love September is September is a time for harvesting. And if you remember that, so all your demonstrations, all your spiritual work that you've put into something, now you must ask for the crop to come in, and you must harvest that crop. So many times in metaphysics, you just keep treating and treating and treating, and you never ask for the crop, for the harvest to come in. You see, you can sit around and do that all your life, but you have to say, now it's time. It's time to reap. And so many people forget that it's time to reap. So September is a wonderful month for you to start reaping whatever it is that you want in your life. You've worked now, you see. You've put in the spiritual work, and now it's time to reap the demonstration. So that's why I love September. And as you see, farmers and all in September, they're always reaping what they sowed during the summer. So what you have sown all year and all summer, now say to yourself, it is time to harvest the crop. It is time for it to come to me, you see. And we don't do that sometimes. We keep waiting. We keep expecting something else. We say, well, if I learn one more thing, then the demonstration will happen. If I become a better person, then the demonstration will happen. And we keep postponing our own good. Don't postpone your good. Now is the only time that you have. This minute, this moment, is the only time that you have. And in that time, you have to do something with your life. And one of the things that you can do in that moment is demand. And notice I've used the word demand. That the harvest comes in. That you are now reaping the crop that you sowed. Very easy to do. So think of that during September. What have you looked for? What have you wanted all your life? Now make up your mind that this is the time that you're going to harvest that. That you're going to harvest that. Also, we said that we want to always kick this thing up a notch and learn more about ourselves. The whole idea of this teaching, we have that wonderful slogan, change your mind, change your life, which is absolutely works. So change your mind, but change your mind about yourself. Change your mind about yourself. What idea are you holding in your own mind? You see, transformation is absolutely possible. That's what this teaching is all about. You can transform yourself into anything that you want. That is the great thing about it. But to do that, you must change your mind. The thoughts that you are thinking that are not getting you where you want to go in life, you can change them. They are not yours. How many times have you heard me talk about the imagination and how important that is? And it's the largest tool in your toolbox. And Albert Einstein said, imagination is more important than knowledge. Anything that came into this world because of somebody's imagination. Somebody thought it up. And then it became something. So we have to learn to use that, take that imagination out of the toolbox and start to use it. It's the greatest gift that you were given. It's the biggest tool that you were given. So you must learn to use it. I ran into this over the internet, by the way, from Reva. Many of you may remember Reva. She types out little things to me, and she knows that I love imagination. This is a great thing. Live out of your imagination, not your history. Isn't that wonderful? Live out of your imagination, not your history. Give up the story that you're telling yourself about yourself. The story that I can't do something because when I was a child, I tried it and I failed. or my mother always told me I couldn't do that. Well, your mother was wrong. You see, you have to learn to change those things. That's what this is all about, changing what you're thinking about yourself. Now, as I said before, this whole thing about parents, we're always blaming things on our parents. I don't blame anything on my parents. I got over that years ago, remember, when I discovered they would have done that to anybody, you see. And that's what you have to realize. Your parents would have done that to anybody. They didn't pick you out and say, well, I'm going to ruin your life simply because you're you. They would have done that to anybody. They had no idea what they were doing. You know, we always think, oh, parents should know this, that, and the other thing. I don't think to this day there's a manual on being a parent. I don't think you can go to a bookstore and say, I want a manual to tell me how to be a parent. There's no such thing exists. No one knows exactly how to be a parent. It's trial and error. And parents make a lot of mistakes. What do you have to do? You have to forgive them. You have to forgive them. You see? If you don't forgive them, then you're going to have children. You're going to repeat the same thing to get back at your child. So that's what my mother did to me, so now I'm doing it to you. Don't do that to yourself. The whole idea of this teaching, the whole idea of metaphysics, is to learn to change yourself. But to learn to change what you're thinking about yourself. So use that wonderful power, your imagination. Hold in your mind an image of what you want to be. An image of what you want to be. All right, so we said we were going to kick everything up a notch. So what I would like you to do tonight, starting here, go down the whole way around and say to Rhoda, I'm proud of myself.
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 And I'm proud of myself. Learn to be proud of who you are. Learn to be proud of your accomplishments. You see, we're always waiting for somebody else to be proud of us. You have to be proud of your own self. You have to be proud of yourself simply because you're a human being. You're a wonderful, wonderful miracle. You have to be proud of yourself. You say, instead of looking in the mirror and saying, well, if I look this way or that, this was different or that was different. No, don't do that to yourself. Get up every morning and say, I'm proud of myself. I'm filled with love for myself. I'm filled with self-confidence. And then do that. You see, wouldn't it be nice to always feel proud of yourself and to walk around, I'm proud. It's a wonderful feeling. You can do that. You have to do that. You see? The whole idea of this teaching is to learn to think the thoughts that you want to think and learn to feel the feelings that you want to feel. And in order to do that, you have to give up the idea that there's anything on the outside of life causing anything. Nothing on the outside of life causes anything. It's your interpretation of what's going on that is causing all the trouble in your life. But you have a mind that you can control. You are not your mind. Your mind is yours, and it is yours to use. So once you realize that, you can reprogram yourself, and you can take complete control of your life. Therefore, you are going to learn to start running your own life. Instead of allowing the traffic to run it, the stock market to run it, the oil companies to run it, your little voice from the past that tells you something, you're going to say, no, I'm the one that's causing everything. I am the cause unto my own experience. I'm the cause of my own life. I cannot blame this on anybody. I cannot blame it on anybody. Now, when I say don't blame yourself either. Know how wonderful you are. Know how proud you are, how self-confident you are, and say, geez, you know, I can fix this. I don't have to think this thought. I can change my mind about this. I can control my thinking. I can control everything about me. Now, what I would like you to do, everyone in the class, just sit a moment And just let your face completely relax. No expression on your face whatsoever. Now I want you to start to smile. Just start to smile. Now as you start to smile, can you not feel things going off? That's endorphins, people. Can you feel? Smile. That's it. You'll feel wonderful. Endorphins are triggering in your mind. They're just snapping away. You see? You can control your emotions. You can feel what you want to feel. The body is a magnificent thing, and the mind is a magnificent thing, and it responds to you. You see, people who are depressed sit around like this, and they get depressed. But that closes all the organs in, that closes all the energy in, that closes everything in. All you have to do to get out of depression is pick yourself up and roll your shoulders back and drop them. Try that and feel the feeling that you get. Go first into this. And you're closing down, and all your energy is closing down. And you're so, oh, I feel so sad. Oh, my. I'm so pitiful. Now, do you want to sit around like that? I hope not. So now just pull yourself up, breathe in, roll those shoulders back, and drop them. Now, didn't you feel things coming across you? That's the energy, and that's endorphins again. There's glands all through here, people, adrenal glands. Everything is working. You have to learn how to work those things in your own body. This is why we say that you're the cause onto your own experience. You're causing everything. You're causing everything. So learn to do these little things for yourself. That wasn't hard, was it? But if you smile all the time, you'll get used to smiling and you'll feel that. During the day, make it a rule to smile and feel what's going on inside of you. You see, the problem with most of us is this. We never bring our minds to our body. How many people's minds in their body right now, or how many people are thinking about tomorrow, or what they just ate, or the bill they have to pay? If you're thinking of any of those things, your mind is somewhere else. You have to keep your mind in your body. It goes anywhere it wants to go. I can zoom it across the country, but I have to keep bringing it back. You have to bring your mind to your body. Bring your mind to your body. Very easy. All right. Last week, we got out of here. I handed these out. I want to go through this quickly because this is how you realize that you are the cause onto your own experience. They say our nows are forever. Then how would I like mine to be? For if this is true, my forevers are entirely up to me. My forevers are entirely up to me. They could be loving and happy with feeling so carefree and gay. Or I could dwell on my problems and fill my forevers that way. For if each moment's a forever, then however I choose mine to be, as I shape my nows and forevers, I am also shaping me. I am also shaping me. We are always creating ourselves. Give up the idea that your genes are doing that, that you inherited all this stuff from your parents and your relatives and so forth, and this is the way you are. You may believe that and you may do that and it will work for you. But I am telling you that you do not have to do that. You can say, this is who I am, and start making the person that you want to be. Each and every one of us has inside of us an ideal person that we know who we are. But we don't allow that ideal person to come out. Why don't we? Because we don't have the self-confidence. We are not proud of ourselves. You know perfectly well that there's something better inside of you. Each and every one of us knows that. So we have to contact that. That's called your true self. And contact that true self and bring that true self out. And how do you do that? By learning to have integrity. By learning to appreciate yourself. By learning to respect yourself. By learning to be proud of yourself. By realizing that you're awesome individuals. That you're unlimited. That you're unstoppable. This is how you build yourself and recreate yourself. And give up that idea that it's something else. I told the story, and I'll tell it again because I just love it. When I was in Monte Carlo, I was eating in an outdoor cafe, and there was an English woman and her husband eating with an American woman and their husband. And they were quite old. At the time, I thought so. Now I'm catching up to them. Call perspective, you see. And the English woman said to the American, "Oh, how are your grandchildren?" And of course, she pulled out a wallet with, looked like an accordion with every picture. And the American woman asked the English woman, "Well, how are your children, your grandchildren?" "Oh, we very seldom see them." "Well, what are the names?" And she, the woman goes, "Names, names." She looks at her and says, "What are their names?" She said, "You know, they want to eat at 5. She said, "We don't eat to 8. So we said, "We don't see them." But they went on about this. And here's the little crux that I love. So the American woman was talking about her daughter, and she said, "You know, my daughter blames me for everything. And she's in psychiatry, and her psychiatrist said, well, I think it's because you were potty trained too soon." Now, this English woman, by the way, had a lorgnette, you know, that glasses on a stick. She picked those glasses up and she looked at that American woman and she said, "Sounds like an American idea to me. Sounds like an American idea." It's only an idea. It's only a perspective. You can change that. You can change that. Don't fall for that. "Oh, I was potty trained too soon, or I peed in the alley when I was 12, so now I'm a bad boy the rest of my life," and all this, that, and the other thing. Why do you want to do that to yourself? You can change it. Remember, you're the only one that can change your mind. I can't change your mind. I can tell you all this stuff. You have to make up your own mind. See, I can't think for you, and I can't eat for you, and I can't breathe for you. All I can do is put this stuff in front of you and let you see what you want to do with it. But give up the idea that you're stuck the way you are. The way you are. You see, you cannot say all things are possible with God and then sit there and say, "But I cannot change. I cannot lose weight. I cannot stop drinking. I cannot do this. I cannot. I've always been this way." Well, you've always been that way and we're tired of it. Now, be somewhere else. You know, you can change. That's the whole idea, is to change. But look at yourself and love yourself just the way you are now and say, "I am changing." And then start to do that changing so that you really do like yourself and love yourself. It'll make all the difference in the world. I brought this one in. Let's go over it. Centered in God, I live a life of excellence. I believe. What I believe is reflected in my life every day. I honor God and the gift of life by believing in myself and in the potential that lies within me. I am a healthy, prosperous, and wise person God created me to be. My beliefs guide the choices I make. Knowing I've been given unique talents and skills, I use my gifts in wise and loving ways that serve myself and others. Knowing that I am a child of God, I set high standards for myself so that I live a life of excellence, mentally, physically, and spiritually. Centered in God, I have purpose in being a unique expression of divine life in the world. I believe in myself and in the power and presence of God moving in and through me. With God, I am all that I am meant to be. Use this daily if you have to. Learn to believe in yourself. Learn to know. You've all heard that little thing, God doesn't make junk. You've all heard that. You must also realize that we consider God perfect. And something that's perfect cannot make something that's imperfect. So you have to know that you're perfect just the way you are. But if your little mortal mind is talking to you all the time and telling you you're not quite right, you're less than, and you'll never make it, you are the one who has to stop it from telling you that. You see, you are not your mind. But if you don't take control of your mind will talk to you. Your mind has never been your friend. It will never be your friend. It has never brought you any good news, and it will never bring you any good news. So give up the idea that it's going to do that. And learn to listen to it. And when it tells you all those things, tell it to shut up, that it doesn't know what it's talking about. To go back to the nothingness from whence it came. Because you are manufacturing that, and you are manufacturing it with the tool that you were given and you're using in the incorrect way, and that is your imagination or your visualization. And you're using it in fear instead of in faith. So learn to have faith in yourself, and learn to have faith in this thing called God. This morning I had a call from a client of mine who went on about God and her, God and her, God and her. So at the end of the conversation, I said, may I make a suggestion? Why don't you say you and God? And she said, oh, I don't know if I could do that. You see, people are afraid to put themselves ahead of God. You can't put yourself ahead of God. You are God. All that you are is God, but you are not all that God is. When you say God and me, what you are doing mentally is separating yourself. You're saying there's God in me. And when you have separation, you cannot make a demonstration. You can only make a demonstration when you're one with the only source there is. But this is so ingrained in race mind and so ingrained in all our teachings and so forth, because we have this wonderful idea that God is mighty, that God is jealous, because if you put yourself before God, you're going to have the wrath of God. This teacher does not believe in a vengeful God, by the way. Doesn't believe in a vengeful God. If you want a vengeful God, there are lots of brand name churches out there that are willing to give it to you. But this teaching will not give you a vengeful God. By the way, a vengeful God is only in the Old Testament. It is not in the New Testament at all. But back to, you have to see what your mind is doing to you. You have to become that witness to your own thinking so that you can change that. So you can see how silly it is. You see. So when you have all these crazy thoughts and so forth, put them out in front of you just like on your computer screen. And look at them and say, well, do I want that one? Oh, I don't think so. When I have an idea or don't have an idea, I ask for a better one. I say, oh, I don't like that. Come up with something better, please. You see, you can ask your mind to do things for you. Your mind is your servant, people. It belongs to you. It's the machine. It's your computer, for goodness sakes. Would you let your computer tell you all that garbage that you let your mind tell you? No, what would you do? You'd hit the delete button. I hit the button lately that says, don't show me that again. Something comes up in my mind that from 30 years ago, something will come up. You're washing dishes, something's happening, you know, you're doing something, a thought will come up. And you start to get angry. Well, how could they have done that? My God, that was 30 years ago. Get over it. So I just press, don't show me that again. Don't show me that again. You have to do this. This is the way your mind works. I'll tell you, I'm always telling stories on my own mind. about a card for a friend of mine. So when I got home yesterday, I thought, well, I'll finally get that card. I looked all over, couldn't find that card. So I said, well, I remember seeing it on the passenger seat of the car. Now, Dallas, you didn't lock the car. You see, now somebody got in there and stole that card. I said, what are you talking about? I don't believe in theft. How can you do that to me? You see, my mind went to immediately tell me that there's such a thing as thieves going on out there. I don't believe in theft. That's why I leave my car open. So I did a little search around the house, couldn't find it. And I knew the last time I saw it was on the seat of the car. I went down to the car, and a Kleenex box was on top of it. I picked up the Kleenex box, and there it was. But you see what I'm saying? If your mind immediately wants to go out and blame somebody else, immediately wants to say a thief came in, immediately wants... Why didn't my mind say, Dallas, you don't believe in theft? Angels are protecting your car, and a wonderful angel is going to give you that card right now. Now, why did my mind not say that? Because I didn't train it to do it. You have to train your mind. Learn to think the thoughts that you want to think, and learn to feel the feelings that you want to feel. You see, we're taught that we're plopped here and have nothing but victimhood. That something's always causing us. That we're always in turmoil about something. That somebody's doing it. That something outside of us is doing it. We're doing everything with our thinking. We're doing everything with our thinking. And we can change that thinking. And once you realize that it's only thinking, that it's only thoughts. See, there's no such thing as a good thought or a bad thought. They're just thoughts. You say, I can think a thought and think it's good and tell you the thought. You'll think, oh, that's horrible. It's all perspective. You see? There's a saying. Nothing is good or bad, but the mind make it so. Nothing is good or bad, but the mind make it so. We're the ones that are doing it. So learn to change your mind about yourself. Learn to know that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. With that, let's do the matter dance. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. Please learn that you do matter. That this thing called God or this thing called the universe would absolutely be incomplete without you. That you are needed. That you're here on this plane of action at this particular time because you have something to offer and something to give that only you can give. And ask what that is. Ask what that is. If you think you don't, you do. But ask. Ask. And learn to think good thoughts about yourself. You're saying? Henry David Thoreau said, a man becomes what he thinks about all day long. What are you thinking about? Are you thinking about health and wealth, loving relationships and creative self-expression? Those are the four things in life. Those four things are the legs that hold up the table. See, many people can get three or four, but get all four and you have a solid platform. All four. So that's what you should be thinking about. Not only that you're wonderful and awesome human beings, but you should see the abundance and the prosperity and the money coming to you. You should see the love coming to you. You must know that you're totally lovable, that people want to love you, and that you want to love them without any conditions. You know, I think most people are afraid to love anybody because they think something sexual has to develop. If you say, I love you, then you think, oh my, next step is in bed. You can love people without being sexual. It doesn't require that you be sexual. Love requires that you love. But it's very difficult for any of us to love somebody else if we don't love ourselves. This is why so many relationships break up. You must learn to love yourself. Accept yourself and see yourself as a whole and complete individual. And yes, we're always working on ourselves. We're always moving towards that perfection. But we must have fun while we're doing it. And we must know that it is possible to do that so that you enjoy your life. Do you want to continue this life without joy? No. What fun is it to go through life? And I know many joyless people who live their whole life and can't wait to leave this plane of action because they've never enjoyed it or they never enjoyed themselves. You have to learn to enjoy yourself and to have fun with yourself and stop taking everything so seriously. Does anyone know why angels can fly? They take themselves lightly. Just think about that. We get too serious, we get too bogged down. And of course we think that all this stuff means something, you see. It means very little. What means anything is the idea that you are one with God and that you are practicing that presence. That we're always practicing the presence of God. When I am in a difficult situation or need something, I always say, how would God handle this? What would God think about this? How would God think about this? There's always a third answer if you ask God. If you ask the world or your mortal mind, there's only ever yes or no. You see, and with God, all things are possible. There's a third answer where everyone wins. Because everything on this plane of action happens for the best of all those concerned. For the best of all those concerned. So you have to realize that there is something, some power, working for you. That there is not a power working against you. Now here again, if you want to know about a power working against you, there are plenty of brand name churches that are willing to do that for you. But this teaching does not teach that. This teaching teaches a unity, and only unity, which means there is only God. There is no such thing as evil. Now, we perceive evil, but there's no power in evil. The only power there is the power of God or the power of good. And that power always wins. It always wins. But you have to know that it is for you. And start thinking about that. That you have a power, you have a friend that is always willing to help you and is always there helping. But this friend is so polite that you have to ask. You have to ask. Back to the word proud. Learn to be proud of yourself. My parents had an expression, don't be too proud. Don't be too proud. Which absolutely confused me, because if you were proud, they'd knock you down. But they didn't want you to be too proud, you see. And I'm going to tell you, be as proud as you want. Puff up your chest. Walk around like a banty rooster. Be proud of who and what you are. Be proud of what you do, the little accomplishments, anything. Be proud of that. Why do you want to undercut yourself? Why do you want to say anything bad about yourself? Or say, I'm not enough? You see, you have to know that you are enough. That's a given, you see. So if you know that you are enough and that's a given, and you know that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter, and remember that day in and day out, your life will change. Your life will change. And that's the whole object of this teaching, is for you people, and myself included, to change, not to stay, unless you love where you are. But I have a feeling you don't love where you are. You wouldn't come to this class and listen to me babble. You see? So we all want more out of life, and we all want more out of ourselves. Now, that does not mean that you have to run out and kill yourself doing all this stuff. What it means is you have to sit and start appreciating yourself. Start liking yourself. And start realizing that you truly are made in the image and likeness, inwardly, of this thing called God. And that this power is always in, as, and through you, the same way that it's always around you. And that you're one with that. And that you can use that. And you can train your mind so that you can liberate yourself from race mind. So that you do not have to be in lack and limitation. This is not a teaching of lack and limitation. It's a teaching to teach you that you're unlimited. That all things are not only possible with God, but all things are possible with you, regardless of what the facts are, regardless of what the knowledge of the day is. You're saved. You think we are always in this civilization have the same ideas that we have now? No. They will completely change as we know more and grow more. I said earlier that we were going to talk about quantum physics. You see, it's time for us to realize that there is such a thing as quantum physics and start using quantum physics in our own lives, because we're living in Newtonian physics. And although Newtonian physics work and Newtonian physics will fit in to quantum physics, quantum physics just overlaps it. Here is Newtonian physics. Here's quantum physics. Probably there's string physics, and then there's something. But we keep learning, we keep growing, and we must know those things. So why is it so important to know about quantum physics? Because in quantum physics, they can prove that your thinking, your expectations, your intentions change things. It can change an atom. It can change a quirk simply by using your mind. And Newtonian physics will not do that, because Newtonian physics only talks about the parts of things and how each thing fits into something else. But they're not connected. You see. If I remove my leg, it's all right, because it's not connected to my body, as a doctor will tell you. I happen to think it's connected for some reason. I don't know why. I'm sort of used to it being there. And I'd like it to remain. So, with quantum physics and with metaphysics, the two of them are talking the same language. They're just using different terms to do that. Ernest Holmes said there'll be a day will come, when science and religion will walk hand in hand with each other. Will walk hand in hand with each other. You can't separate them, you see. Brand name churches and stuff would like to do that. They would like to keep science out of the church. And of course, we'd like to keep church out of some of the things too. It's not about church. This is about you. It's about your mind. It's about learning to think differently. It's about realizing that you can change, and that it doesn't take 20 years to do that. That you can give up the idea. One of the ideas, of course, to give up is that genes are doing anything to you. They know now that you can change your genes. I'm not talking about the pants you wear. I'm talking about your little genes that make you make up the DNA in you. That these things can be changed. But we don't change them because we look at everybody else. And no one else is doing it, so we say, well, they're not doing it, I'm not doing it. Now, if you want to live that way, that's all well and good. I don't think it's a good way to live. I think you have to realize that you can change. It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, how bad off you are, you see. Everything can be done in the twinkling of an eye. In the twinkling of an eye. All miracles are instantaneous at the moment of belief. So what are we doing? We're learning to change your beliefs. Last month I handed out different codes of beliefs that you can learn to change. At least look at them and see if they make sense to you. Learn to change them. Because it's always going to be done onto you as you believe. Andy's favorite little saying is, God does not ask us to try harder. God asks us to believe more. It's done with your belief. You see, we think we have to get out there and try and try and do that. No. You have to make an action. You have to do something. But you have to know that you have this friend, this power, in, as, and through you and all around you that can help you do that. So if you want to change yourself, if you're not completely pleased with yourself, if you have some habit that you want to change, and we all have habits, I've had many. I can get a habit faster than anybody because I'm compulsive, you see. You know, I said to somebody once, don't give me anything because I'll start to collect it. You see? No, you can't give me one. If you give me one of something, next day I'll have 12. I'm compulsive. So habits are compulsive. And if you like the habit that you have, use it. Some of my habits I just absolutely love. I love that about me. The ones I don't, I let go. I don't focus on them. I just let them go. You see? So we can learn to change ourselves. I've changed myself dramatically. And I continue to do that. And I look forward to doing that. Who wants to stay the same? You know, maybe that's why people die early. They get tired of themselves. You see, if you keep changing and don't get tired of yourself, you could live forever. You could live forever. These are just merely thoughts that I put out there for you to take and do something to change yourself and to change yourself for the better. All right. I love this one. Unless you become as little children and dig your ditches, you shall in no way enter the kingdom of manifestation. What does that mean? You've often heard me talk about you must think of the journey's end. Always have the journey's end in mind. Because that's the manifestation. So, what does it mean? Dig your ditches. That means even when you don't see rain, you dig the ditch and get prepared for it. You always have to be preparing for your demonstration. And how do some of them, when we want to change ourselves, Shakespeare said, assume a virtue if you have it not. Start assuming the virtue that you want. Start seeing yourself with that habit, without that habit, or whatever. See the end product. See always the end of the journey. But dig a ditch. How? Two examples I can give you in my own life. I was living in a little studio apartment on Hoffman Street in Studio City. And I went to a garage sale and they had a table and chair set. I bought the table and chairs. Dining room. My friend said, are you nuts? You don't have a dining room. I said, I will. Not long after that, I moved into a two-bedroom dining room and I was able to use that table. That's digging a ditch. That's showing active faith. Remember, I wanted a solid core door in my new place. So what did I do? I bought a door knocker. As soon as I bought the door knocker, there came the solid core door for it to hang with. You see? Now, many people would say, "What do you? Why are you buying a door knocker? You don't have a door. You have to see the end of the journey." But I will have a door. And that knocker's hanging on it now. Months and months and months ago, I told you about a mode of prayer called the last mode of prayer. The lost mode of prayer. And that was the whole idea of feeling. Remember, Emmett Fox said, in order to make a demonstration, you must have warmth of feeling. It's feelings and thoughts combined that cause a demonstration, but it's a warmth of feeling. So the lost mode of prayer, which I'll demonstrate quickly, is if you want rain, you don't pray for rain. You pray rain. See, if you're praying for something, what is that telling your mind? You don't have it. So you can use this also when you don't pray for money, you pray money. If you're praying for something, you are telling your mind you don't have it. And you must know that everything is already done in mind, so you do have it. It just hasn't manifested. It hasn't taken clothes and dwells among us. So you have to bring that in to manifestation, make a demonstration. So we're going to pray rain. So you sit. Last time I did this, the clouds got funny. And you start to smell rain. You know how it starts to smell, the air changes? Something smells. You can smell rain. Oh, that feels good. Now you start to feel rain dropping on you. The little drops, then they get bigger and more. Now it's really coming down, and your feet, oh my goodness, you're squashing around in the mud. The rain's making all that mud. Oh, okay. Now you give thanks that that's done. That's how you pray rain. That's how you pray money. That's how you pray for anything. You don't pray for health. You pray health. How do you pray health? I'm strong. I'm vibrant. I know that every cell in my body has the power of God in it. And each and every cell, each and every organ, each and every system of my body is functioning perfectly, is cooperating perfectly. I have perfect assimilation, perfect elimination, perfect respiration. I'm a vital, living example of God. That's praying health. Pray for them. Dig your ditches. Dig your ditches. See the end of the journey. That's the way that thing's done. Fear and impatience demagnetizes. Poise magnetizes. When you get into fear and impatience, you're not attracting anything to you. So, when you know that you're in fear, switch to faith. And here again, how do you do that? I believe, but help me with my unbelief. I believe, but help me with my unbelief. We all have a little thing of unbelief going on. Anyone who tells you that they're 100%, they believe 100%, they don't believe them. I don't think the Pope believes 100%. There's always going to be a little bit of doubt going on because we live in this world And we live in these thought atmospheres all the time. So you don't punish yourself for that. You say, I believe. But help me with my unbelief. Then you turn that unbelief over to God. Remember, that's what God does. That's how you use this thing called God. That's how you use this friend of yours. You say, I can't do this here. You do it. I'm tired of it. Remember a couple of weeks ago I said it's the idea of casting the burden. I can't carry this burden. But I know God can, so I give it to God to carry. I don't want humped shoulders. This one. Faith is elastic. Stretch it to the end of your demonstration. Faith is elastic. Stretch it to the end of your demonstration. Meaning, have faith and stretch that faith till a demonstration comes. When people want to knock it down, when anything wants to knock it down, stick to your guns and say, no, this is what I want. And you'll get it. Be not weary of make-believing. When you least expect it, you shall reap. Be not weary of make-believing. This whole month is as a child. Children use their imagination. Children make-believe. When you were a child, you make-believed all kinds of things. Many people pretended they were doctors or nurses. They're doctors and nurses now. So it's not too late. Start making believe. In the 70s, when they had that human potential movement out, they used to say, fake it till you make it. That works too. But it's done with your imagination. It's impressing your mind. And it's impressing the mind of God that this is what you want. When I say impressing, I want you to think of it as taking your hand and pushing on something. Now, when you take your hand away, there's an imprint there. That imprint is now in mind, and God must fill that. We're always making a mold for universal mind to fill, for the mind of God to fill. And you do that with your imagination. You do that with your visualization. You see yourself, you want a house. You have to see the house. You have to see the rooms in the house. You have to see all the things that you can see about that house. Now you have pressed that into mind. Take that away. That indentation is in there. Universal mind must fill that. I used to refer to the mind of God as Play-Doh. And we had a Play-Doh factory. Remember a Play-Doh factory? You put this stuff in, you did something, and out came the shapes that you wanted. Think of God as the Play-Doh factory. God doesn't care, you know. God doesn't care. You can call God a Play-Doh factory. The only thing God cares about is that you get what you want. God wants you to have your heart's desire. But above all, God wants you to love yourself and like yourself and be happy and filled with joy and enjoy this experience called life here on this wonderful plane of action. You see, many people think that this is a hostile world. If you want a hostile world, move to the moon and live there for a while, you see. Any world that produces flowers cannot be hostile. Any world that produces flowers cannot be hostile. Look around at the beauty that's out there. Look around at the gorgeous flowers and so forth. And then say to yourself, oh, this is a hostile world. Those beautiful flowers would not grow in a hostile environment. You do not live in a hostile environment. If you live in a hostile environment, you are doing that with your mind. And you were doing it to yourself. Rhoda's famous little saying is from Rumi. And it is, why are you in prison? when the doors are wide open? Why are you in prison when the doors are wide open? The prison doors are your mind and how you're thinking. One of my metaphysical mentors, Auntie May, said, do you have braces on your brain? Take the braces off your brain. Reason why I think Auntie Ming was a metaphysician, because she said, life is a banquet, and most poor souls are starving to death. You have to know that life is a banquet, that this world is abundant and prosperous, and everything that you need is here. It's a great life. Oh, I love this one. It's a great life if you don't reason. What's the other one? It's a great life if you don't weaken. If you don't reason, why is that so great? Because you reason yourself out of everything. You allow your mortal mind to tell you that you can't do something. You go into reasoning and you say, oh, but I took classes and I did this and I did that. You know what? I'm very smart. I'm very smart. And all my thinking and all my mind and all my reasoning tells me that that can't be done. You see? So you just blew right out of the water. All things are possible with God. I don't care how much education you have. I don't care if you have an IQ of 3,000. You can never match the power of God. And all things are possible with God. So don't allow your mortal mind to do that to you. Faith without works or action is dead. Yes, we must always do something to back up the faith that we had. The faith that I would get a door, I bought a door knocker. That's active faith. We have a saying, treat, which means treatment or prayer, and move your feet. Do something. The other one is, God helps those who help themselves. Another one is, draw nigh to God, and God will draw nigh to you. You must meet God at least halfway. You must ask for help. You must start doing that. And God will meet you and do something. But it takes those action steps. It takes you to do that. I will give to thee the land that thou seest. What does that mean? Man is ever reaping on the external what he has sown in his thought world. In his thought world. What does Emmett Fox say? We live in a mental world. And if you had anything to teach children, it would be that they live in a mental world. Rather than teach them reading, writing, and arithmetic, teach them that it's a mental world. Why is that so important, that it's a mental world? It will keep you from being unhappy. It will keep you from disliking yourself. When you realize that your mind is doing it to you. You see, a mental world. Nothing is doing anything to you. You get upset over other people. You get unhappy because this happened or that happened. You see, it's a mental world. You can change your thinking about it. Some of the things may not be nice. If you're watching that, I don't know what happened with the stock market. I understand that everyone's upset over the stock market. You can choose to be upset over the stock market or choose not to be upset over the stock market. The idea here is that you have choice, that you're always going to have choice. If there is a garden here and a dump there, it is your choice which one you want to look at. It doesn't take the garbage away, but you don't have to look at it. And the more you look at the garden, it will keep growing and it will go right over. Grow right over all that garbage that you see. So the whole idea in life is choosing to see what you want to do. Choosing to think the thoughts that you want to think, to feel the feelings that you want to feel, and to place no precedent on principle or on God. You see, all things are possible with God. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.